Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They need more depth throughout their lineup. You look at the St. Louis Blues, you look at the Boston Bruins, they alleviate the pressure on their top guys because those other players can go out and carry significant play in their respective areas. I think that's how you become a really good team and you become a really difficult team to play against. And I think if it's a score, great. But if you get a couple of players that can really drive play from your third line and you get a really good number four defenseman that can really add a different element to your team, those are areas that can really help this team. Because one of the big challenges for the Buffalo Sabres last year is that when their top players weren't on the ice, they had massive challenges, and that created a lot of problems for them.
That is Craig Button from TSN. He was on with us yesterday. A lot of hockey stuff going on this week. If you miss any of it, make sure you check out on-demand audio, WGR550.com, so you can keep up with all the different opinions and things we're hearing. Now, what are you mad about?
I wasn't mad about 20 years ago today. I'm mad about 13 years ago today.
Okay, hold on a second. What year is this? 2019, 2006. Kings Cup.
Yeah. The year that a plucky bunch of relatively non-injured players managed to have their opponents in every round get massively hurt and then went on to win it in seven games against Edmonton's third-string goalie, Edmonton, the 8 seed.
Hmm. You mean the cup you don't recognize to this very day?
Never happened.
Hey, you know, you kind of said something nice about them a moment ago. You called them plucky. That's usually a compliment.
I was joking.
Okay. You meant lucky. Drop the P.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
Hey, it happens.
We will talk NHL draft for a little bit. That is coming up this weekend. Of course, complete coverage here on WGR.
Trying to get our revenge with an offer sheet on Aho. That's right.
That's the way to get him
back. Time to get back.
Would you admit? I still wouldn't make the trade. I'd rather have the cup 13 years ago than whatever. Yes, draft this weekend. Let's go to the Western Hotline. We're going to be joined by Kyle Woodleaf from the Red Line Report. You can also see his work at usatoday.com. Kyle is joining us right now. Hey, Kyle, it's Howard and Jeremy. Happy draft week. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, well, we're here looking for trades, Kyle. I'll be honest with you. The draft is this weekend, but as a Sabre fan, I think a lot of us are wondering what Botchel's going to do to shake the roster up or to make the roster better, in addition to bringing in guys who hopefully will be here in the next year to 3 years.
Well, I think, with the Sabres, obviously, you know, you've got that the number seven pick this year, and you could get a player who could play maybe a year from now already on the roster. And then, you know, there could be a trade with the other picks you've got there. And it wouldn't surprise me. There's got to be a lot of teams who are looking to move back up in the draft. It's a strong draft, and it wouldn't surprise me if Buffalo does deal any of their picks after that number seven overall.
It's interesting that you know, I haven't actually tracked it, but you know, you talked about maybe the guy at seven is a year or two away, and it used to be, right, almost anybody you drafted, you'd think, well, you know, in 3 or 4 years, we'll see if this kid amounts to anything. And it's gradually changed over the years. And now the guys at the top of the draft are staying and playing right away. Dahlin comes to mind, right? It seems like everybody, you've sped up the process overall. With picks higher in that first round, it isn't, we'll see in 3, 4 years. It can be, like you said, maybe the guy they picked this year is here next season.
Yeah, I think that's very true. It's become a younger, faster league, and part of it is money-driven. Everybody is looking for young, cheap talent so that they can replace older veterans who are making big money. And that's also part of why trades could be in play this year. We all know about the incredible restricted free agent crop that there is this year. And, you know, I don't think that all of those teams are going to be able to squeeze in under the salary cap all of those restricted free agents. So I think, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be moving. And, you know, Buffalo, I think, has San Jose's pick late in the first round. We already saw Jacob Truba, you know, move to the Rangers for the 20th overall pick. You know, I think that's where we could see movement coming in is later on in the first round with teams who need to get rid of older and more established veterans who are making big money and they can't really fit him under the salary cap. You know, I think that's where the hay is to be made in this year's draft.
Kyle, big picture first, when you look at the overall draft, who or what do you think are the most intriguing storylines going into this weekend?
Well, I think, you know, the first storyline is that you're going to see the top 10 just dominated by forwards. It's a forward-driven crop this year, so I think you're going to see a lot of big-time scorers going in that top 10. You know, after that, between, say, 10 and 22, I think you could see as many as 8 or 9 defensemen go off the board, including a lot of European defensemen who a lot of, you know, North American fans won't be as familiar with. But I think that's how the draft is going to unfold.
At the top of the draft, there's no question about 1 and 2. So let me handle those guys quickly. How good do you believe Hughes can be?
Oh, Hughes is an outstanding player. I mean, he's a first-line center in the NHL. You know, we talked about guys going straight into the NHL or only a year later. Ironically, as good a player as he is, he's probably the least of all the top players ready to go right into the NHL, even though he will be. You know, he's not a big kid physically. He needs to fill out his frame a bit and, you know, get a lot stronger. But he's going to be most likely in New Jersey next year, assuming they take him first overall. And he's going to be a legitimate first-line center in the NHL.
You said assuming they take him first overall. Is it not a clear-cut choice for the Devils?
You know, I wouldn't say it's clear-cut. I mean, certainly Kapokako has done an awful lot to bridge the gap that was there at the start of the season. But Hughes has not done anything wrong, and he plays the center position. You know, I've heard people say that they think Kako can play center in the NHL. I think that would be a mistake. I mean, he's much better used on the wing. He's just a natural scorer. You want to put him with a center who can get him the puck. You don't want him to be the one doing the work to get the puck.
Do you think so 1 and 2, there's really no debate, even depending on whatever the order, but the big debate starts at 3. Do you, in your rankings, do you believe there's a clear-cut guy there, or do you believe there are a series of guys when you get to 3 and maybe the next few picks after that, you have throw the guys in a hat?
For me, I think it's a clear-cut number 3 with Vasily Podkolzin, the Russian winger, and then a slight drop down from there to another crowd of, you know, 4 or 5 guys. But, you know, I understand some teams may be leery of Podkolzin. Yep. He's got 2 years left on his AHL, or his KHL contract. You know, to that I would say, well, you know, I don't think Washington minded last year when Kuznetsov was leading him to a Stanley Cup that they had to wait for his KHL contract to run out after they picked him. And same thing this year with Tarasenko. You know, I say take the best talent. If you have to wait one extra year, so be it. You know, that's not a big thing in the overall scheme.
What do you now the Sabres are at 7, Kyle, as you know. So when you get into the back half of that top 10, what kind of talent level are we talking about that the Sabres will be able to pick from?
It's quite strong. I think there'd be certainly a good center on the board there for him. You've got Dylan Cousins and Kirby Dach from out in the WHL. You've got Alex Turcotte from the U.S. national team. You've got Matthew Boldy, the big, strong winger from the U.S. national team. You know, you could see somebody like Cole Caulfield, even though he's only 5'7", 155 pounds, he's the best pure goal scorer in this year's crop, and I could see him, making it into the back of the top 10 there. And you know, there's an awful lot of talent this year. It's a very strong draft. I'm thinking that teams that have multiple second round picks, like Detroit and the Rangers, they're going to make out really well because there's going to be prime NHL talent, deep into the second round. The top 50 is very strong this year. I've got guys in the 40s this year who would have been in our top 25 at Red Line Report last year.
So the Sabres have another pick, as you mentioned, at the top at 31. So even at the end of round 1, you'd still feel good about the kind of player they're going to get there?
Oh, I absolutely would, yes. And I think there's an interesting case developing. You know, there's a center from out in Kootenay in the Western League named Peyton Krebs, who ordinarily would have been a top 10, certainly a top 15 overall pick, but had a partial slice of his Achilles tendon by a skate last week. And, I think that's going to drop him down. But I think that if he makes it out of the first round, I think there's going to be a lot of teams scrambling to maybe try and trade up to the top of the second round and pick him up. he's a guy that, you know, you might want to trade your pick down and get some established talent for teams that are desperate to move up and pick him at the top of the second, or you might want to take him yourself.
You want to get in a little plug for Redline Report before we let you go?
Sure. Anybody can pick up our draft guide by just heading up onto our website at www.redlinereport.com. 27 years we've been at this, and we're used by all 31 NHL teams.
Well, we haven't had you on for 27 years, but we've had you on quite often. So thanks again, Kyle, for giving us some time, and enjoy the draft this weekend yourself.
Thank you very much, Howard. We'll be on with you soon.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Woodley from the Redline Report on our Western Hotline, again, Friday night, round one. And as he mentioned, well, maybe that pick at 31 could be somewhat of intrigue for the Sabres with the draft going deep in terms of talent into the second round. Anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking about something else. Okay, 803-0550 to join us. Get a little better to forget it in. I do have some hockey in here. Why not? There's a lot of stuff going on this week. So, Better to Forget It is brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino. The real deal for winners only. It is awards night tonight, gentlemen. So don't forget about that. So we'll just run through some of the bigger ones, Jeremy, and you can tell me who you would bet on to win the award. Your Hart Trophy finalists are Sidney Crosby, Nikita Kucherov, and Connor McDavid. Not a bad group, by the way. Who would you bet on to win the Hart tonight in Las Vegas? Crosby, Kucherov, McDavid.
Aren't all arguments available here?
Yeah, it's not Crosby.
Well, hold on.
No, don't give me an argument for him.
The argument for Crosby is that he's the hardest one to make an argument against.
He's wanted enough.
Well, I mean, McDavid didn't make the playoffs. Yeah, without McDavid, Kucherov. Where would they be? Kucherov.
Too many talented
Team's
players.
Team's too good.
I hate that argument.
So if you make the two arguments that are against MVPs, it's got to be Crosby.
All right, so you're betting on him. Vezina Trophy. Ben Bishop, Andre Vasilevsky, and some guy named Robin Lehner.
Sure, Vasilevsky.
Okay, I think I was leaning that way. Your Norris Trophy goes to either Brent Burns, Mark Giordano, or Victor Hedman.
Give me all the favorites. Whoever the favorite.
Who is the favorite in the Norris Trophy, Burns?
I don't know. I was looking for, I told you, I was looking for those odds
the
yesterday.
Odds and all? Yeah, I don't
and
have
that's how I found out
odds.
That Joey Chestnut is minus 1235 to win the Nathan's contest.
Ryan O'Reilly on the Selke?
Book it.
What else? Patterson, right, for the Calder? You think it's going to be Patterson,
I
right?
do. Over How Bennington about GM of the year?
Who is in the running for GM? I don't even have that. Who
I'll
is
tell you who the finalists are.
Go ahead.
Without looking, I don't exactly know. Doug Armstrong.
Well, would this have been voted on? But was it voted on before the playoffs began? He'd still
they vote after the conference finals are established.
Okay, then he's definitely in.
Doug Armstrong.
Yeah.
The Carolina guy. Who's that?
Not Waddell, is it?
Yeah,
no. Waddell. Yeah, Don Waddell.
Don Waddell. And the Bruins or the Sharks? Which guy's going to be?
The Bruins.
Okay, Bruins.
It's
No, it'll be Doug Wilson because they want to toss him a bone. He's been he's a good old boy, right?
Yeah,
been there for 16 years.
It's not Julian Brisbois from the Lightning because they voted after the first round.
Yeah, seriously?
No, I know.
They vote after the conference finals have been. You get to the Final Four, and then you vote for Executive of the Year, and you pick.
It seems odd.
It does.
Why wouldn't you vote at the end of the regular season? And okay.
That's very weird.
So I guess Doug
at least
Armstrong
they, unless they change the process, but that is how it used to happen.
Okay. Let's see. How about some Stanley Cup odds from betonline.ag? I will give you some of the favorites here. You let me know if any of them float your boat. There are four teams that have Stanley Cup odds of 10-1 or better. The Lightning, the Bruins, the Knights, the Leafs. Next year's Stanley Cup. Do you like any of those four best teams? Lightning, Bruins, Knights, Leafs. Your four favorites, if you will.
I like the Knights.
Give me the Knights. 9-1 odds.
The Knights. If the Knights, I think the Knights would have won it this year.
Let me throw you some. I'm going to take you over 20-1, right? You want to throw a little money at a longer shot?
Sure.
All right, so 22-1 Preds?
No.
25, Panthers, Flyers? I'll keep going. You can let me know when you got one you really love. 28-1, Jackets, Stars, Islanders?
I mean, I don't mind the Panthers if they add Bobrovsky and Panarin.
Yeah, right.
But that doesn't account for the loss of future Buffalo Sabre Jonathan Huberdeau.
Sorry?
Yeah. He's going to get Jonathan Huberdeau.
Okay, I just wanted to just make sure I heard that properly. They're going to get Panarin, right?
Probably.
That's a good bet at 25.
Well, should you say Islanders?
Islanders at 28-1.
I mean, are they offer sheeting Mitch Marner? I mean, I don't want to bet it until I see all these offer sheets that happen.
Okay, I'll add a category. Better to forget it. There will be an offer sheet. At least one offer sheet?
Oh, yeah.
You're fully anticipating offer sheets.
Yes.
You're that. How many? Over, under. What should I?
There will be
offer
sheet
over, under
wars. However many you need to be for there to be wars.
Over, under five.
Maybe under.
Okay.
Well, but I mean,
one would be progress.
Like read the NHL.
I hear
read
everything.
The NHL room. Everybody complains about players being too old and making too much.
I know.
So the way to beat that is to have them not be that old.
But you're thinking logically.
I know.
Is the National Hockey League we're talking about. You can't use logic when you talk about the National Hockey League. You're using reasoning.
Yeah.
You can't do that with the NHL.
That's what I go for.
All right, fine. Better to forget it. Ristolainen's traded by the end of the weekend.
Forget it.
See, I would have bet that one.
Because I'm waiting for it, so it's not going to happen.
It'll happen, I'm telling you. Let's see, what else do I have for you? How about a quick golf bet? Again, betonline.ag, odds are out for the Open Championship next month. Would you bet the favorite, Brooks Koepka, 15-2?
Yes.
Well, that was easy. And the last thing is, the Bills are accepting nominations. Did you see this for a halftime wedding?
Yes.
At halftime of the game against the Patriots. By the way, why would you subject someone to their best day in their life at the Patriots game?
Snark cannon real quick.
I don't know what even you're going to say, but I know it's going to be beautiful.
Hey, right?
I know it's
going to be. Hey, did you hear there's going to be a wedding at halftime of the Bills-Patriots game?
No kidding, really?
How many guests in the party, you think?
Up to 20, I think, are allowed.
Oh, wow. Well, at least 20 people will be staying in the stands.
Come on!
I needed you to give me a bigger number.
I'm sorry.
Wedding party, 300. Hey, 300 people.
70,000? So anyway, here's the deal. So you can apply. The Bills are taking applications to have a halftime wedding, 50-yard line, halftime of the game, September 29th. And you have to answer some questions in the online nomination form, like how long you've been a Bills fan, what is your favorite Bills memory. And the first round of the contest runs through July 7th. The winning couple receives custom jerseys, tickets to the game for yourselves, your two of you, and 20 guests. And a reception follows the halftime wedding ceremony. Bet it or forget it. Fabulous idea. Wedding ceremony. Well, you can't do this because you've already been married. Well, Brayton, you can't do it either. And I'm not renewing our vows at halftime. Bet it or forget it. Fabulous idea. Halftime wedding ceremony, Bills game.
I'm glad that the Bills are doing it.
Bills Patriots.
Seems very nice for someone that might like that.
So you would not have done this. I liked your wedding where it was. I think
it was a good wedding.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'm not.
It would not have been equally as fun at the Bills. What? That's early in the season,
September
right?
September 29th. So the weather will still be good. The Patriots game? Hopefully they're not. Maybe they're. Nah, forget it. There's no way around the Patriots game. That would be Bet It or Forget It, brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. I'm just trying to envision a wedding ceremony at halftime of a football game with like thousands of fans in the stands and people talking and having conversations and you're trying
to
have your
ceremony
special moment.
Is at halftime.
Ceremony is at halftime. Then you get a reception afterwards. Can you even hear the vows? Are they miking these people?
That's a great question.
Is it on the PA system, the vows? The ceremony itself? Wouldn't it be? Why would you have a halftime ceremony and have nobody would be able to hear anything?
But I mean, then people in the stands don't care about it.
No, that's what I said. Do I need to hear other people's vows that I don't know? It's a weird thing.
Will they play the train horn?
Oh, Lord. After they both say I do.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. You have to, and whoever led the charge that day should come out for the wedding ceremony.
And now the ceremonial slamming of the table.
No, I don't think.
You don't think they'll do that?
I don't believe the Bills are going to sign off on that. Lifetime passes to Tailgate Village. The Bills will give them a gift, right? They have to give them a gift. No, really, again?
I mean, the snark cannon.
This is the third time you're wheeling it out.
This one's going to be.
You are in prime form today.
So they'll throw the bouquet, of course, and
sure,
the Bills are going to bring back Calvin Benjamin to drop it.
No. Didn't you mean he won't run the route hard enough and be in position to drop it? Calvin Benjamin's going to drop it. No, I don't want to. I'm not going to go. You're the snark guy. There are things in my head.
See if I can get any more.
But I'm not. I don't want to go there.
How does the NFL interfere with this wedding?
Oh, come on. When the guy says I do you throw the challenge flag?
Do you?
Maybe he throws the challenge flag.
Do you, Brian, trust the process? I do. And you, Jillian, also trust the process? I do.
Let's review this ceremony to see if the minister got the words right. All right, when we get back, Sabres trade rumors. Rasmus Ristolainen seems to be the hot name out there from the Sabres. And Pierre LeBrun yesterday reporting that once again the Sabres are talking with Tampa Bay. So we'll go to Tampa. And Brian Engblom, former NHL defenseman who now works on Lightning telecasts, will join us. We'll get his thoughts on Risto, on Tampa's interest, who might be available from the Lightning. And it seems like, you know, people around the league have a value of Rasmus Ristolainen that we don't have on Rasmus Ristolainen. That's a good thing, right, for Jason Bottrell. So we'll talk about that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. Did you tweet us yet today? It's Hoagie Hump Day. Hopefully you tweeted us for your chance to win a gift certificate from Jim's Steakout. If you have not, all you need to do is tweet at WGR550. When you tweet us, make sure you use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. And that's it. Then you're at, see, it confirms it's hump day. So tweet us, use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day, and you have a chance at winning a $25 gift certificate to Jim Steakout.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think with Ristolainen, they'll listen to offers moving forward. I do believe that the Buffalo Sabres are going to want to move a defenseman out. I don't know whether it's going to be this guy by September or October.
This is part of our conversation with Nick Kypreos this morning from Sportsnet in Canada, talking about Rasmus Ristolainen. His name is out there in the trade rumors. You can talk with us this morning at 803-0550 or 888-552-550. It's Pierre LeBrun from TSN who said the Sabres are again speaking with the Tampa Bay Lightning and their GM Julien Brisebois. They spoke about Ristolainen at the trade deadline, and they're talking once again. LeBrun says Tampa is far from the only team that's expressed interest. In fact, now that Jacob Trouba has been traded, I'm told interest has picked up again over the past 24 hours. Ristolainen is probably the top target now for teams eyeing to trade for a top-pairing defenseman. If I'm the Sabres, LeBrun writes, I don't get into a serious discussion with Tampa unless Mikhail Sergachev is on the table. He is in his entry-level contract, a guy who the Sabres could have drafted.
And he's likely to make less than $5 million in his next contract. And one of the big differences between those two is transition. He's much better at moving the puck.
And he might figure prominently in their plans next season.
I will say, so this about Ristolainen and maybe about Tampa, too. You need enough puck movers, right? You need enough of those guys to make it work. The Sabres don't have enough. They have Dahlin.
Montour.
Montour does that to
us. And hopefully Pilot.
Sure. It's one of the reasons that when the Bruins start talking about trading Torrey Krug, I think, okay, I'll find it.
Bill. Yeah,
so maybe what Tampa says is we've got too many puck movers and we need more balance back there. Like how could Tampa want him and the Sabres not? Tampa's good and the Sabres are not. How do you square that? I don't know. Tampa did lose Steve Yzerman, so we don't really know their new GM.
Julien Brisebois. Yep.
Yeah. Is he good? How do we know?
That's a good question for our next guest. Waiting to tell us a little bit more about Tampa and what they're thinking is Brian Engblom, the former NHL defenseman, is on the Lightning telecast. He's their TV analyst.
Sometimes,
he's with us right now.
And sometimes teams decide they want to get a little tougher, a little bit meaner. Pittsburgh just went through this and went the wrong way.
Yeah.
And Tampa, what? Brian, is it a crisis of identity after that first round exit?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to panic, guys. They had an historic season. Absolutely fabulous. You can't do any better than that. I just think that they just never got in the right gear mentally in the playoffs. They created a monster in Columbus pretty quickly and couldn't turn that around. I mean, it it shocked them. I think their confidence level was there early on in the series, and then all of a sudden you could see that they did panic, like, oh, my goodness, we can't get our game going. So there was a realization there and a smack up the side of the head that's going to stay with them all the way until next April, until they can prove something new.
Do you think, to Jeremy's initial question, Brian, do you think there is an element of wanting to add, like Ristolainen certainly is known for playing a tougher, more physical game back there, right? Do you think there is an element of that the Lightning are trying to add?
I think that it would be a valuable thing, yes. I think that they're looking at that. I think that they're looking at size. I don't think that they value size over everything else. There has been talk that they didn't have enough of it over the last couple of years in the playoffs when things really get ramped up physically. So I think that certainly is there. It's probably, you know, I don't know if it's in the front of their mind, but it's certainly there. The physical aspect of the game, playing defense in today's game, for the most part, it doesn't have to be about running at players, although I will, with the caveat of how the finals were played between Boston and St. Louis, I don't think teams are going to try to recreate what St. Louis did, though. And I think Tampa Bay in particular is not a team that can all of a sudden say, well, we're going to run people out of the building. That it's not going to happen. They don't have that philosophy. They don't have the structure on the team in order to do that. And they're not going to panic and try to go in a completely different direction. So that's definitely not going to happen. Having said that, everybody's looking for balance. And you guys, I know we're talking specifically about Ristolainen, and as everybody else is, I'm a fan of the guy. I think that he has terrific skills. I think he's been through an awful lot. And being a former defenseman myself, I know what can happen, to especially to young guys on teams that are struggling and giving up an awful lot of goals year after year, and you're getting the majority of the ice time. That's a really tough thing. I think it's more difficult than being the goaltender. I mean, you can't sort it out after a while. So I think that a change of a venue for Ristolainen would be excellent for him wherever he goes. And I'm going to be really interested to see what happens here moving forward.
Do you look at him, do you view him as a top two defenseman in the NHL? Do you view him as a guy who shouldn't be out there for 25 minutes, but he's okay in a 3-4 pairing?
Well, I think he's definitely easily a 3-4. I think that he can be a number two defenseman, depending on, you know, who you're playing with. And, you know, the style of play, as we said. I think it might take him a little while to adapt to a new team. Again, on defense, it's really difficult. There are a lot of changes in how teams play overall, and it affects the defenseman. How do you want me to move the puck, and what are the priorities? And to play with the Tampa Bay Lightning, you get to play with a lot of skilled players. You got to play with tempo. You got to move the puck quickly. And on the good side of things, there is more structure and there is more puck possession. So a guy like him wouldn't have to sort things out as constantly defensively and wonder what he's doing out there. If, and again, in this scenario, because he's right-handed, if he played with Victor Hedman, I would say he'd be in a pretty different situation than he's ever been with the Buffalo Sabres. And I think he'd be licking his chops if he got a chance to do that.
With young defensemen, Brian, you mentioned it a moment ago since you played the position in the NHL. So Ristolainen's only 24, but he's got 5.5 years in the league. He's been in the league for over 400 games. Now, granted, this is all part of this question I'm going to ask. It has to do with what team are you on, you know, how are you used, who are the players around you. But with 5.5 years with 400-plus games, do you think you pretty much know who a defenseman is, or do you believe that there's still – you can still improve significantly?
Yes, I think yes to both. It's amazing that he's got that many games under his belt when he's only 24 years old. I mean, he's right in his prime right now. That's an amazing stuff. At the same time, again, you know, based on what I said a moment ago, just theoretically, because we're talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning and the talent level that they have, and the fact that pretty well every coach, and John Cooper has been one of those guys that said, I prefer lefties on the left than righties on the right. And they've had issues with having enough right-handed defensemen. That's, you know, why everybody's talking about this here. And because Dan Girardi, who played with Hedman, is likely not going to be back. I mean, they might re-sign him, but even if he does, it does come back, he's not going to be there on a regular basis. He can't stand the minutes that Hedman can. Ristolainen can. So, again, that's why the fit that everybody is, you know, putting there, the question is the price, and it's always about the price, isn't it, guys?
Would Tampa move Mikhail Sergachev?
Boy, I don't know. Not easily, for sure. They wouldn't do it easily. I don't know if they do it defenseman for defenseman. I'm not sure about that, to be honest with you. He is left-handed. He plays the right side. I actually think he's better on the right side than he is on the left, and he's played a lot of right side. He wants to be that guy that plays with Victor Hedman, for sure, for the reasons we just talked about. I never say never. I think virtually, you know, most of the guys on the team are available. I think in today's game and with the Lightning and the way the salary cap affects their team this year, with having to re-sign Braden Point, and that'll be a big number. Mm-hmm. They have to clear some space. Now, they wouldn't clear any space financially with Sergachev because he's still a young kid on an early contract, so that's not an issue. So I would say that they would be very, very reluctant to move him, but it's certainly not an impossibility. As I said, nothing's off the table, I don't think.
I wanted to ask you about a couple forwards, Brian, before we let you go. So, you know, with the rumors of the Sabres in Tampa, let's say it was Ristolainen for a forward. We're hearing a couple names out there. Now, a number of guys have no trade and no move clauses. One of the names we're hearing is JT Miller. He's got a modified no trade, 26 years old, what, I think 4 years of term left, a little over five, almost a dollars for dollars compared to Ristolainen's cap number. What have you thought about JT Miller's time in Tampa, and how would you look at that as a possible trade with the Sabres?
Well, obviously I don't speak for the management. I'm a JT Miller fan. I think he has been terrific ever since they acquired him. This guy has got some serious skills and is often overlooked on the team because of the other skill level of the other players. But he facilitates an awful lot of great plays. He's really, really good in traffic. He's really good in the corners. He's really good at hanging on to the puck and bringing two guys to him, not just one, before he makes a play to players who know how to get open. He's a hard-nosed player, and he's got some terrific hands. He's got power play experience. I think that he is has been a terrific acquisition. He and McDonough were brought in at the same time, you know, from the New York Rangers, and McDonough was the guy everybody was talking about, and for good reason. But JT Miller is a heck of a hockey player.
The other name is Ryan Callahan, and you talked a moment ago about, you know, financial relief. There's speculation that a trade would include Ryan Callahan, who's got 1 year left at $5.8 million. Has he, you know, I know we'd be talking about a guy on a bottom line with not getting a ton of minutes, but does he have, his body has taken a pounding in his career? Does he have any hockey left?
Yes, I think he does. The cap hit is that high. What he actually makes this year financially is actually a little less. I think it's in the fours, like four and a half or something. But yeah, the cap hit obviously is significant for the Lightning especially. And because he wasn't playing regularly at the end of the season, because they are so deep, because of the tempo that the Lightning play at and the options that they had, that put Cali on the sideline. And he was terrific about it. He's a terrific pro. I mean, he's former captain of the New York Rangers. You guys know his history. I think there's still a lot of hockey left in him. He is one of the biggest voices in the room for the Tampa Bay Lightning about, you know, he has that ability to get in a guy's face. Not many guys do that anymore and go, hey, you know, let's get going here and let's get playing the right way and that sort of situation. So he's very valuable on a lot of different levels. Yes, he has slowed down, and yeah, because of the way he plays, he's not that big a guy, but it doesn't matter. If Callahan is in the lineup, you get every ounce of effort and strength that he has every night.
Brian, thanks for coming on with us. Nice to have you on the show again. Thank you for giving us your time this morning.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Brian Engblom, former NHL defenseman who is working these days as Lightning TV analyst, talking a little bit about some names down there that are We're in the rumor mill with the possible Rasmus Ristolainen trade. Draft is this weekend, and then the free agency contact period opens on Sunday and the signing period on July 1. Coverage of the NHL draft and free agency on WGR brought to you by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys, by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. There's plenty more hockey talk coming up. Top of the hour, Instigators at 10 o'clock on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
So we just had Brian Engblom on the show. I will tell you, when he was talking about JT Miller, and I think he had his contract up, I think he's got a modified no trade, he said a few of the catchwords that I heard from Bottrell so far this offseason when describing JT Miller. Hard-nosed, good in the corners. I hear Bottrell talking about that. That's one of the things he wanted to add. He didn't think his team was good enough at competing one-on-one, winning those battles. He can skate. He can score. If it was part of a Ristolainen trade, it is essentially those two guys, dollars in, dollars out. So Ristolainen's around, what, five?
For who?
JT Miller. Ristolainen's around 5'4", or I got to look at his
numbers.
5'5". Miller's 5'2", 5'. But he's got 4 more years of term. Risto's got 3 more years of term.
Doesn't he have a no move?
He's got a modified no trade. So I'm guessing he'd have to submit a... Player submits a list of 8 teams that he would not want to be traded to.
You know, you always wonder why, you know, you're leaving Tampa. They ask you to accept the trade. Where are you going to go?
Last minute of play in the show.
What did Jeff Skinner decide to take? Opportunity.
Right.
You know, maybe if you're JT Miller, you would say, I don't want to live in this city. I don't want to play for that team. But maybe you would also say, where can I get a lot of good minutes?
Yeah, because he's got term. He's not playing for 1 year and then a contract.
Right, right. So it's a little different.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see if something develops from that. And Callahan is 1 year, 5.8, if that's thrown in there as well. That's great cap relief for Tampa. Instigators
and
are coming
question,
up next.
Why would you help Tampa? You're not winning the cup this year. Who cares who you help?
Right.
And any trade, that team thinks they're getting help. So,
well, Callahan would be the thing they would also talk about. He's good for the room. He's going to provide leadership. You got younger players. This is a guy who really people look up to in the league.
Yeah, so I'm just not worried about who I'm trading to.
Yep.
Because every trade I make, I'm trying to win. And if I win that trade, doesn't matter who I made the trade with.
Instigators on the way. We're back tomorrow morning at 6. Have a nice day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.